stopped the plane from taking off. They evacuated everybody on the plane that those guys might enter. But they were now moving people back inside. Of course, a few people were not able to go in. So they lost their seats and they were angry. What kind of thing is this? One woman was so angry, she forced herself into the plane. She died. The young man telling the story was one of those that lost his seat. That same friend of mine was in Abuja that day. They had a conference they finished the day before. He said, he just called all his men, his workers, the pharmacists that came from Port Harcourt area. He told them, all of you go back today. He just insisted. He said, all of you go back today. I don't want to hear you did not get to Port Harcourt today. I don't want anybody traveling tomorrow. So all of them grudgingly rushed down, took the plane, and left. That was why none of them was on the flight that took off the next day. There's no accident in life, oh. There's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. What is righteousness? Righteousness is not just good works. Let's start from there. Righteousness is approved works. Did you hear what I said? Approved. That God says, good, correct. That is, the opinion of God is what makes something righteous. That is why the Bible can say that somebody believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It's the opinion of God concerning what you are doing that makes it righteousness or otherwise. So righteousness is not just about good works, but what? The approval of God. Approved works is what is righteousness. As I'm talking about spiritual authority. The Bible says that God has made everything for a purpose, even the wicked, for their role in the day of destruction. Satan is one that has a purpose. God uses him for the days of destruction. And let me say this to you again. He cannot destroy him or her that God has not approved that he should destroy. Let's get this thing very clear. When Jeremiah was prophesying, he saw the angel. They were about to go for destruction. The angel said, wait. No, God said, wait. The first angel that will go, let him go and mark the heads of those who sigh and groan because of the iniquity that is in the land. That is, not only are they not participating, it is hurting their souls. That will tell you something. One of the reasons, because spiritual things are interesting, they interconnect. I like science because nothing explains spiritual things like science. Scientific laws interconnect. That's how they, in fact, Albert Einstein was working on the general theory of relativity. There's a reason I'm saying so. How did Lot live alive? The intercession of whom? Abraham. But do you know the Bible also said that his soul was being hurt every day because of the iniquity that was in Sodom and Gomorrah? That is, again, it's the same principle. God said, take an angel, go in there. First, go and mark those that must not be destroyed. And he marks the house of Lot. Please, I'm coming to something here. Satan, he knows his level. The devil knows his level. He doesn't jump on anybody he likes the way he likes it. But there are those, the Bible said, the whole world lies under the power of the evil one, of the wicked one. Say, Pastor Mike, what does that mean? I'll tell you simply. It means there is a spirit of the age. Go and read the Revelations. You talk about the harlot that was mixing wine and giving people to drink. Be careful what you approve of. Be careful what you participate in. Do you understand my point? Listen, what Satan tries to do is to have all of us drink of the spirit of the age. Listen, there are many things in life. You just make up your mind. All your friends are doing it one way. Once they are not believers, or at least serious believers, disagree. You know, there are times you just disagree with people for the sake of disagreeing with them, so that God will know you are not drinking of the same spirit. They say a young man cannot marry until he has bought a car, even though you have money, refuse to buy one. Just refuse. Refuse. Just refuse. Just to prove to them you refuse. You understand what I'm saying? It's the spirit that matters, actually. Huh? But I'm trying to bring out something. Now, sometimes, you know, some of my friends, we joke and we say things. Like, you know, as a pastor, when you are saying it, I assume you are joking. as a pastor, there's a kind of car you will drive, there's a kind of place you walk, there's a kind of place you don't go, and rubbish. Listen, if it's just about status and prestige, now you're on TV, everybody will, listen, the only reason why you won't find me rushing through Ogbe Ete Market, I will still go if necessary. Yeah, if the greeting is getting too much, do you understand my point? Yes, I may just restrain myself, yeah, but please believe me, I'm not a big man. I reject the title big man in Jesus' name, you know. I reject it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I reject it. A big man. I'm a servant of God. Do you understand my point? Yes, I'm just a believer. I'm another person. My big manness is only in Christ Jesus, which applies to every one of God's children. I'm talking about drinking of the spirit of the age. You have to be careful. People living for themselves alone. Lovers of themselves and not lovers of God. Be careful that you are not a lover of yourself. Because listen, there are times you hear, look, something happened, well, I won't tell you details, but a few days ago, we were chatting somewhere in a place and something hit me. That actually most people are lovers of themselves. You see, all this running up and down, a lot of people do. Not all they are trying to do. They want to build a house. When they finish, they want to buy a bigger car. When they finish, they want to buy another house. They run up and down, up and down, and then they want to send their children to this kind of school. At the end of the day, from beginning to the end, the man is a lover of himself and not a lover of God. You know, I've said it before several times. You know one of the reasons why some pastors preach the kind of message they preach about money? Because the people love themselves so much that they say, okay, I will show you. I will collect this thing by force from you. So you know what I'm going to do? I will tell you that this is the way you can love yourself some more. And of course, they all fall for it. The truth is that, listen, if we are, look, believers, children of God, if we indeed live not for ourselves, but for him that died for our sakes and rose again on for our righteousness, you'll be amazed at what we can achieve for God on the earth. There's a spirit of the age. I'm coming to something. Is everyone who drinks of that spirit of the age that's under the power of the evil one. Do you get the point I'm making? Let me tell you the truth. There are people that Satan actually knocks their head for breakfast, kicks their butt for lunch, and gives them sliding tackle for supper. He has them, that is, he's theirs to do as he wishes. Yes, Satan, you know, all Satan tries to do is to bait people into the position where he can control them. And believe me, the whole world, the Bible says, lies under the power of the evil one. That's why, listen, let's preach the correct message. This is the reason why people need to be saved. Just to get out from the control of the devil. And this is why even Christians have to be careful. That they don't drink of the spirit of the age. Because that is how Satan controls their lives. Believe me what I'm saying. Listen, if indeed you have given your life to Christ and you have renounced the spirit of the age. Let me show you something. Ephesians chapter 2, quickly. From verse 1. In chapter 1, it describes Jesus Christ and the riches of his glory and all of that. In that same chapter, in verse 1, chapter 2, it said, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world." You're not talking about the spirit of the age. Are you saying it? Literally, he said, according to the age, this age. He said, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit which is now working in the sons of disobedience. See, I can't leave this thing alone. This scripture, I'm going further down, but let me just explain this thing again. If you look at the line by line, he said, this is how unbelievers walk. They walk according to the age, this age, or the course of this world, the pattern of this world. They walk according to the prince of the power of the air. Now listen, you will see, when we're reading that Ephesians chapter 6, it said our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Can you see that here? The prince of the power of the air. What's the prince of the power of the air doing? Have you noticed it? It's teaching people how to walk. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Let me explain. The world is in financial crisis. It's the center stage of discussion on CNN. I used to like watching it. I'm getting tired of it. Maybe I'm getting tired because I have learned the lesson I want to learn from it. The summary of it is that this, even Alan Greenspan said it, this was all born of greed. You hear what I said? Greed. In real terms, when God wants to send calamity upon people, you will see the origin of it. What I mean is that you will see there was an earthquake. You will see a hurricane. You will see wars. You will see physical destruction happen. But in the world today, did you see anything like that? Nothing happened. Fuel did not dry up. The wind didn't stop blowing. There were no earthquakes, serious earthquakes to level many places. There were no wars that would say that this is the cause of all of these things. Nothing. There was no physical destruction of real wealth. You know what I mean? Material wealth. Buildings being burnt and destroyed. You know, cars being destroyed. Physical money being burnt and lost. Nothing like that. So what side all of this? I'll tell you. The spirit of the age, the prince of the power of the age, he told the people, steal, become covetous. Listen, that's why with this spiritual economic empowerment and development strategies, and I'm already plotting for seeds two, that is the strategies, second one. Because the fact about life, all right, is that most of the methods used for things on earth are decided, dictated by the prince of the power of the air. Do you get what I'm saying? No, really. That's what Satan does. Let's get the point. These Satan people are fighting day and night. They are actually going to dinner with him every day. They don't understand. The guy does his business. Does everything the way Satan said, do it. Then he's fighting the devil. No, listen, the devil must. I'm sure he laughs every day. You cross his leg. Once they start praying, he starts laughing. Believe me, a lot of prayers are comedy for Satan. Comedy. He say, Agbako. Agbako will say, yes, sir. Come. Inwe will appear. I'm using Yoruba words that we used to use as children for demons and stuff like that. Let us go for entertainment. They carry all the demons. And they go outside one church. Say, put your microphone inside. Let us start laughing. Satan, out of my life. Is that back when you didn't hear that? That girl is telling us to go where? He said, do you have your GSM there? He said, yes, I have it. Call them. They will pick her after church. You will see that she doesn't mean the prayer. And the whole hordes of hell will start laughing. And the businessman will say, today, Jesus will answer me. All my wealth, all my enemies, everything that Satan has stolen, I collect it back. And the whole hordes of hell will start laughing again. He said, look at that thief. The thief that believes in borrowing and not paying back. The thief that was counseling his friend the other day, that if you want your staff to stay and not go, make sure you are owing them 3 months' salary. Look at the thief. The thief that quotes 4 jobs, all right? He's about to supply genuine parts. They approve the money for genuine ones, and he supplied the fake ones. Look at him saying, oh, we should get out of his life. All the hordes of hell, they will laugh. The prince of the power of the air will say, you see, we are walking. We have them in our control. Let them pray all they want to pray. They ain't going anywhere. They will look towards heaven and say, about God, I lie. God will say, I know now. Why are you rubbing it in? He said, Pastor Mark, what do you mean? It's not the Bible. Have you considered my servant Job? God and Satan, they talk about you. They talk about people. Prince of the power of the air. God will say, that one. No, Satan will look at God and say, that one is my own. But God say, just wait. Let's look for intercessors. Because for people like that, the only thing is people who love them, who are praying for them. And those ones, now the only thing your prayer can do is keep them alive so that they will hear the word of repentance. That's what I'm talking about, real Christian warfare. Look at that one. It said, in the man, there was a manner we walked, according to this age, the spirit of this age, according to the prince of the power of the air. This is the interesting part. That Satan is the one teaching them how to do business. If you're a businessman, please go and get our seed CD. Now, the point I'm making is that we are discussing divine thoughts for the creation of businesses and development of enterprises. God has thoughts. God has ideas. There's the way he wants things done, which are different, all right? His ways are different from the way of the power of the air. But let's just continue. He said, and this spirit is now working in the sons of disobedience. Christians and non-Christians alike, that is, the ones that refuse to walk in the obedience to the will of God. In verse 3, it says, amongst them, we too all formerly, please, everybody use the word formerly, that it was before. A Christian is not supposed to currently be holding the ideas of this age. You know, let me say it again. He said, come, you children, listen to me, David said, and I will teach you the fear of God. We need the fear of God. What does that mean? The manner by which God says we should do things. He said, come and go and learn it. Let me take marriage as an example. You go to a place like America, even pastors do it. Bishop marry, divorce his wife on Friday, marry the next wife the following Friday. He said, Pastor Man, you can't judge. In Jesus' name, I'm not judging. But the boy, whether you judge or not, when you see something is all over the place, you should know that something is wrong somewhere. It's natural. That is, it's very normal. Interesting enough, I can name, which I will not name for you. All right? Don't ask me, say, Pastor, who are you talking about? I'm not telling you. But I personally know some great ministers in Nigeria who went to America to learn that doctrine. And they teach it to their inner caucus of ministers. That if you and your wife don't agree, you can divorce. It is okay. Listen, a friend of mine was there when they were discussing this. He scattered the meeting. He said, what rubbish. I can't give you details. You'll be angry. But this is the point I'm making. It's called the prince of the power of the air. Derek Prince told a story in one of his messages I listened to. That one man had a prophet. He prophesied that there was a number of activities that Satan was engaged in America then. And he said one of them is going after families, marriages. That's what I was talking about. And the demon that was in charge of that, listen to me, the prince of the power of the air in charge of that was operating from Reno, Nevada. He gave names, not story. Physical manifestation, I'll tell you. Reno, Nevada was the first place where you could get a divorce under 1 hour in America. And the man prophesied it before it happened. That is, the prince of the power of the air in that area is operating from Reno, Nevada. Shortly after you know, the American law is. He said that was the first place in America where you could get divorced under 1 hour. You walk into court, say, my Lord, she was my wife up till now. But now we're in your presence. I don't want her again. The judge said, you're sure about that? You have two witnesses to witness to this divorce. He said, yes, they are waiting outside. Just sign here. I hereby declare you former husband and former wife. And then they go. I used to have to tell a story. That's Reno, Nevada. That's a particular town in America. And Derek Prince said the prophet had prophesied that the spirit going after families, that's where he's starting work from. So everybody buys the spirit. And you know that spirit is very complicated in those operations. And spirits, they don't work alone. You know, they don't work alone. Jesus said, when you cast out an evil spirit and he comes back, finds his house empty and all of that, what does he do? He goes to gather seven more dangerous spirits. So they work all kinds of ways just to ensure that homes are not built. Let me say something to you. We cannot pray that demon out of the air. Yes. You can't. If you like, don't sleep again. It's your personal problem. Don't eat again in the name of fasting. You'll just die for nothing. That demon is not going anywhere. How do you handle him? Thank you. All you can do is what? Resist. Did you hear what I said? What do? You resist. The way God has done it is that if you guys resist him enough, and there's something about the power of the church. If we say something won't stand, it won't stand. You say, Pastor Dan, what about the many things that we say will not stand, they are standing? Because we never said they won't stand. You say, what do we mean? Because amongst ourselves, we say outwardly, they won't stand. But inwardly, what do? We do the same works that says they should stand. You know what we say outside and what we do inside is not. There are two different things. There are two different things. We say one thing outside. Inside our hearts, we are not really not agreeing. I don't like to say this, but it's the truth. As far as I'm concerned, 50% of those who go to church don't believe in God. Nigeria of today, at least not in Jesus Christ. They believe in the common God, you know, like a Muslim will believe in him, like Guru Maharaj will believe in him, like a Buddhist will believe in God, if he does, I mean. But to believe in the power of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, most people don't. Most people are still more afraid of the traditions of their village than they are of the word of God. Most people rather walk by common sense and experience than walk by the word of God. That's why we really haven't stood against anything. In the nation, look, you see, God has a way of proving things to us. We have made preachers, governors and stuff like that, and we saw what happened. There was one down the road. There was one up country. The one up country was even the interesting one. You know, this kind of thing that everybody will gather, Father God, thank you, you have put a God-fearing man in office. The church looked and said, God-fearing who? This man is an adulterer. A sitting governor in Nigeria, the church elders excommunicated him. Not because they didn't like him, but because of an adulterer. That's all. They didn't have, that is, they sat and said, listen, bro, you get girlfriend, and you have wife amongst us here. And bro did not repent, and the church elders gathered and excommunicated him. I'm talking about the spirit, the prince of the power of the air. You know what he does? He tempts people to do things. What am I saying? You want to cast that spirit out? I'll tell you what you do. It's simple. What you do is resist him and teach righteousness. Do you get my point? And the church will institute rules and regulations amongst itself, amongst its members, on how to behave. When you have done that, after a while, God will tell you, you see that you don't belong here. And then the demon has no choice but to disappear. Please, I hope you are following my point. Now, let's continue reading. Now, he said, amongst them we too formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. That is, it was our nature because of the way we were walking, because of the way we were living. But this is what happened, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace, he said, you have been saved. By grace, you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You notice that? We are seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, what I want to bring out here is this, is where we are seated. He said, we are seated with whom? With Christ Jesus, who the Bible also testifies is seated far above all principalities and powers. He's seated on the right hand of God. He said, that's where we are seated. You know what that means? I'm talking about spiritual authority. It means even Satan knows. And if any child of God will not walk according to the order of the world, listen to this, he has no problem as far as Satan is concerned. The devil has no power over him. Do you get the point I'm making? Let's get that clear. We are talking about what is real spiritual warfare. I'll continue developing it next time. The real warfare is about our faith. That we resist all this rubbish that the prince of the power of the air is teaching us in different areas. Let me say it to us again. This existence, in this life, we have there are different spheres, and Satan has a plan for every sphere, and he has a prince of the power of the air controlling the activity of each sphere. When he goes into petroleum distribution, he has something to say. And let me tell you the truth. When you enter there, if I will give entertainment as an example, but when you enter there as a businessman, whatever it is you want to do, the first thing that will happen is that you will see the temptations of Satan. You will see how to move fast and make money. And you see how to do things rightly according to the order of God, in accordance with God's, you know, approval. And it will appear like you will get nothing. Oh, we'll talk about that. Because I said there are two sides to Christian warfare. Do you understand my point? Let me quickly say both of them. The first one is for your faith. So as you move into that kind of place, your faith comes under attack. Serious attack. And you know, this is the interesting thing about God. God will stand back sometimes and be looking. And you say, God, it looks like you don't understand what is going on. And he's standing there and he's watching. You know what he's doing? Satan is trying to wreck your faith by that attack. God is trying your faith by that attack. The two of them are using the same instruments to attain two different aims. Satan is trying to wreck your faith by that attack. God is trying to test it, whether it's real. That's when David starts saying, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. People say that, you know, the shadow is just shadow. No, no, no. What he said is, the Bible says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall do what? Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's not just shadow. That is the sphere of influence. That is it. That this a time will come where it will appear that in walking in righteousness, you're about to die. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. That's how it works. Satan comes hard against you. This is the way we do it. Start doing it like this. Bow down to me, I'll give you everything. Turn these stones to bread. Worship me and everything is yours. It's okay, jump from here and let everybody shout back here for you. Everything, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, it comes after you. I said the Christian warfare is twofold. The first one, listen, is pure defense. We'll look at it next time. He talked about the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the helmet of salvation, love that. And then we say the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. That the sword is the only one that's for attack there. When I was meeting about that, I said it's not true. I found that it's not true. Even that sword is for defense. If all you need to do is watch movie, or this medieval movie, you see, even the sword is for what? Defense. The sword is for attack, I know. Do you understand? But in that context, that sword was for defense. That is, as he's trying to deal you blows, you are blocking. You are blocking with the word of God. With the word of God, you are blocking. That's one Christian warfare. The second Christian warfare is the one in which he says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. In which we are taking kingdoms for God. But you know what I discovered? You know what I discovered? We'll discuss that next time. We don't have time. What I discovered is this, that God appoints the seasons. The Bible says he changes kings and he installs kings. Do you understand? He decides the time one kingdom will end and the other one will not end. Or when the one will end, the other one will start. He weighs one man and finds him wanting and he gives the kingdom over to another person. The Bible says he rules in the affairs of man. What does that tell you? It means that no Christian can take a kingdom by force. None. I'm coming to something. It is God that takes kingdoms. Listen to this. And he says, occupy till I'm ready to hand the kingdom over to you. And he gives you the kingdom based on faithfulness. It's still the same thing. Do you follow my point? That is the way by which a Christian actually really takes kingdoms for Jesus Christ. He said, the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And it shall reign forever and ever. How does he do it? The Bible said, those who are with him are the called, the chosen, and the what? And the what? And the faithful. That is, it's still the same faithfulness with which they doggedly hold on to their faith that God uses to take over kingdoms and hand over to them. It is not as if you will scheme until you have money. Are you getting my point? And you now build your own big business and challenge the worldly business. No. No. God says, all right. Because this is a matter of fact. This is actually how it works. I'll give you a few practical examples. I saw on TV many years ago a man, a Christian musician, being interviewed, an American, Native American. And he said when he was a good musician, they wanted to sign him up in the record label. And he said the kind of songs he wanted to sing, the songs he'd be writing. And they told him that this kind of one, you know, they said, you are going to sing about sex, you're going to sing about love, you're going to sing about drugs, you're going to sing about this and that. And he said, I am not singing. And they said, no problem, we are not giving you a contract. And they did not give him. Are you following what I'm saying? Have you ever tuned to Channel O? I don't. It's on my bouquet, I don't. MTV Base, I don't. But have you noticed all they do is show half naked and fully naked women? You've not noticed that? You think those girls like their nakedness being shown? No, they get paid for it. You don't know them. You know the name of any bum shaker on TV. Is the musician, you know the name. Do you understand? The musician himself doesn't show anything apart from Mariah Carey. All right? Why do they all do it? I'll tell you simply. It's called the prince of the power of the air. This is not a matter of chance. It's a deliberate machination from hell. Satan says, this is how we're going to do it. And you see, audio visuals, TV, all right? It has so much power. He said, we have to use it. So he tries to control it. And this is what he does. He baits people. It's money matter. I used to say, look, this is a matter of fact. Go and check it. Sexual healing. What's his name? Marvin Gaye. Was broke, busted, and absolutely disgusted. Then sang Sexual Healing. Made money. Died shortly after. You can say what you like. As far as I'm concerned, these are the arrangements of Satan. You see it. No, these things I'm telling you is not a joke. What I'm telling you is not a joke at all. We can go on. Look, even, what's the name of this guy? This one that doesn't know whether he's born again or not. Well, his mother used to go to church. No, R. Kelly, yes. And the day I read about some of these things, you know the interesting part? It was not even a Christian magazine. I think it was in Time magazine or Newsweek. They were analyzing, they talked about R. Kelly. When he released an album, when things were rough, he released an album because of the youth, according to a magazine, who were high on hormones. And he sold. It's called the Prince of the Power of the Air. That's the way it works. I'm telling you the truth. Go and ask. Even in Nigerian home movies, they don't do that one yet. But the negotiation of sleep with me, I give you a role, is standard. I'm not mentioning anybody's name. I don't know how they got to where they got to. But a lot of the girls just appear one day. All the producers and directors, they can describe her complete nakedness for you. When she's acting for the rest of you to be shouting, and you carry their eye come on, say, why is she still wearing clothes, Seth? That is, what they are seeing is not what they are seeing. What I'm telling you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But it's interesting, but it doesn't have to be like that. Listen, if you will stand by righteousness, God can give you bigger the kingdoms that they have. In fact, He will give you everything they have committed all kinds of iniquity to get. He will package it and dump it in your hands. The only thing is this. This is how it goes. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's a point in which you will look like you're dead. That's why I go and read Revelations. All God always says, he that endures to the end. 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 That's what keeps on saying. He that endures to the end. And like I said on radio the other day, if you use the word endure, that means they're suffering. That's why they say he that endures to the end shall be saved, which is what we try to preach in modern day Pentecostalism. You can enjoy to the end and be saved. It is he that endures. And the word is endure because sometimes it is hardship we are dealing with. You know, it's very common for us as Christians. We like the testimony. Brethren, praise the Lord. And they said that we should do this. I just said, no, me, I'm a child of God. I will not do it. And then you know what happened? When they were giving everybody one step in promotion, I got double promotion. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? That is 1 out of 5,000. The other 4,999, they refused and they got nothing. I hope you are getting my point. Obedience to God does not always pay immediately. Let me tell you now, because you've been wondering what is wrong with you. I stood and I prayed. I said, God, I will not agree. That man has been sleeping with all the girls. Me, I will never agree. I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, I rebuke him. At the end of the day, you failed. But when they don't tell you the truth now, you think you took the wrong step. Because the only testimony you heard was the one that God suddenly appeared in an angel. I shall kill you if you try to disturb my daughter. This one, God did not appear. Go and read the Bible. God wrote, I told John, write, tell them that Satan is about to throw some of them into jail. For 10 days they will be tried. He said, be faithful until death. That's all he told them. I'm not saying that God doesn't deliver you, but after all, he delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you understand my point? Yes, he delivers people. He delivers, but I'm not saying he doesn't deliver people. Get me clear. I'm just saying that when you want to obey him, please don't count on the deliverance. Don't count on it. Don't count on it. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were going to obey, you know what they said? Even if he doesn't deliver us, we will still not bow. If you are counting on the deliverance, you can be sure he ain't going to deliver you. You will die properly. And there are different kinds of death. You can die financially. Do you understand my point? Yes. You can die academically. You can die in business. Employment, you can die. In promotion, you can die. But I should never end it there. Let me say this to you as I close. There is no Isaac that you have slaughtered for God. Do you understand my point? That does not ever rise up again stronger. Listen, this is how God said, Jesus said it. He said, the seed, while it is alive, abides alone. I've said it to you before, maybe different previous messages. There are things you lose. Maybe you're a young woman, you're in school, or a young man, whatever it is. And according to righteousness, you deserve the first class. But because of wickedness of men, they gave you only a third class or a second class lower. I said, that certificate was not lost. He said, where is the certificate? It's in heaven. It's filed on the walls of heaven. Anytime God wants to bless you, you say, that's my first class candidate. On earth, you have nothing. In heaven, God looks at it. He framed it. All the jobs they denied you because it's not play ball. In heaven, the jobs have been awarded. You don't understand the point. That is every naira you lost because of righteousness, resisting sin unto the point of death. Everything is recorded in heaven. Like the way Chiki said it to me last time, after he and I discussed some things, he said, I have decided to call it the cost of a good name. That everything I lose under this circumstance, I will write it down. That this is what a good name is costing me. I just bought another good name for 2.5 million naira. A lot of men don't give a damn. They would rather sell a good name for 2.5 million naira. I said I won't be staying very long. Let me just end my message here. We'll continue the discussion next time. The Lord is good.